As our economy slowly tries to recover amid COVID, the September jobs figures show that working mothers and Black Americans are falling further behind. We're digging into the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Labor force participation figures here. 865,000 women dropped out of the workforce last month, compared to only 216,000 men. The situation for Black women and men is moving from bad to worse, according to Washington Post analysis. How has the pandemic affected you financially? Have you lost your job, sought out safety net programs, maybe risked eviction or turned to family or friends for help? Explain what you're going through, what you're seeing out there in your industry. 800-642-1234. Heather Long is economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Heather, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Well, numbers, they can't tell the full story, but as of September, 2.4 million people have been out of work for at least 6 months or longer. What is your reporting telling you about where we are at now with the U.S. economy?
Right. So we're basically half recovered. And, you know, that's, you can look at that as a glass half full or glass half empty scenario. It's very good news for all the people who have gotten their jobs back in the last 6 months. But obviously, this was such a deep recession, such a huge crisis in the spring, that we still have, you know, over 10.7 million people who lost jobs in March and April and are not back. And what we spent a lot of time doing at the Post was analyzing who are those people who are in those 10.7 million. And that's where it's important to remember how deeply unequal this recession is. It has not hit people evenly. So to give an example, you were just speaking about moms versus mothers dropping out of the labor force in September. Moms of children ages 6 to 12 have only recovered about 45% of jobs versus dads of the same age, the sort of 6 to 12 early elementary years, are 70% recovered. So you can see these deep dichotomies in the economy.
There's also been talk of the K-shape recovery in suggesting that the wealthy are recovering and the lower earning people are not. What do you see there?
Yeah, the Washington Post was one of the first to write about the K-shaped recovery back in August, and it's certainly gotten more pronounced. Basically, what we're seeing is, in short, if you just look at employment, the recession is over for people who are fairly wealthy, so people in the top 25% of earners. It is a totally different scenario for people in the bottom half, particularly in the bottom 25% of earners. And on top of that, if anybody who's looked for a home or looked for a car recently knows, stock market's doing well, home values have hit an all-time high, and car sales, particularly used car sales, are doing very well. And so what you have, again, is people who have money, who've been able to keep their job. This is are basically fully recovered. For the bottom, they are still struggling to find work. Even people who are getting back to work in those service jobs aren't getting the tips that they used to or aren't earning as much as they used to. And it's basically still a pretty close to a depression-like scenario for those at the bottom.
And as I say, the stock market is not the economy. So, you know, Wall Street's fortunes don't really reflect the realities of what we're seeing on our main streets here in Wisconsin. Can you explain the disconnect that is going on as you see some industries recovering, maybe like, you know, I don't know, technology, but other parts of the economy like hospitality and food, restaurants, just really lagging?
Yeah, I mean, so we all kind of inherently understand what's going on here. It's really about how does the coronavirus impact those businesses? And obviously, the hospitality sector, anything, hotels, restaurants, we can all see them in our own neighborhoods, are barely half back. In some cases, they're restricted to still only a quarter of 25% capacity. Obviously, it's very difficult to break even, let alone make any money in that scenario, versus other industries like technology or Netflix, you know, companies like this that people are using the service, they're downloading it more, and people's lives have just come online. I think, too, with the stock market, the other thing, it's really a forward-looking, obviously, and so at the moment right now, the nation is clearly still in this deep crisis, particularly for these unemployed, over 10 million unemployed. But when people in the stock market look ahead, they're looking at 2021, and there is a belief that there will eventually be some sort of, be some sort of cure or be some sort of vaccine, of course. And the other weird thing is the stock market is really focused on these wealthy people who are recovered. And right now, rich people are saving a lot of money. They're not going on trips. They're not having exotic birthday parties. They're not spending as much as they normally do. And there's a belief that in 2021, wealthy people will be able to spend a lot of money again. Of course, that says nothing about folks in the bottom half of the income spectrum who I've been writing about and very concerned about. The downside for them is a lot of economists, including the Federal Reserve, do not think we will be back at full jobs or something close to pre-COVID levels until the end of 2023. So we're talking about at least 3 more years before a lot of people are back to something that feels like normal.
Very long. Talking with Washington Post economics correspondent Heather Long. She's our guide to the state of the economy, what the recovery is looking like, and who is being left behind with your situation as well. How has the pandemic affected your family? How has it affected you financially? How is your industry looking and the work that you do? Is there work to do? 800-642-1234. Heather, let's look at the HEROES Act and the latest $2.2 trillion stimulus on the table that hasn't moved any further toward a deal. What do you see there?
Right. So there's pretty big consensus, I'd say, across the aisle. Republicans and Democrats think that the first HEROES Act and the sort of series of bills that were passed in March and early April, that was more money. It was basically $4 trillion the government spent, more than we spent on the Iraq War, for instance. And a lot of people agree that that was necessary and that that helped. Those $1,200 checks went out to 160 million Americans. That's a lot of people to get money out the door to pretty quickly. The extra unemployment boost kept a lot of Americans from falling into poverty who had lost their jobs and was certainly much needed. The small business, the Paycheck Protection Program, it was obviously pretty chaotic at first in April trying to apply for that, but ultimately, several million businesses did receive that money. The problem is a lot of that aid ended at some point in August. And now we're sitting here 2 months into this. And that's where, as I call around to people, I'm hearing business owners, particularly restaurants, who say, look, I don't know if I'm going to make it without another sort of paycheck protection type loan. Certainly unemployed people, you just had a little bit of a segment on your program that utility shutoffs are happening. In some parts of America, evictions are still happening. And I just think about in our recent story, people like Natasha Smith, a laid off housekeeper at a casino in Louisiana. She told me, look, I only have 2 things left in my refrigerator, a pack of wings and a pack of thighs, and that's it. And she's a single mom, and her casino has decided to permanently close forever. It won't be reopening. And she said, I just call every day and apply for jobs, follow up with managers, and no one calls me back.
Washington Post economic correspondent Heather Long is describing the current state of the economy through her reporting. If you are out of work or furloughed, how do you spend your days? Have your state unemployment benefits come through? Are you still waiting for them? Are you able to pay for basic necessities? What can you say about the situation in the industry that you work in? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Heather Long right here on the Ideas Network. The coronavirus pandemic has been especially hard for women attempting to juggle work, to juggle school and childcare. We're looking at the economy here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are trying to find common ground on the next stimulus. Here's Pelosi on CBS's Face the Nation responding to the airline industry part of the deal.
Well, we tried to get that done in the House, but the Republicans objected. But what I said to the airline executives in a public statement is, don't fire the people. You know that relief is on the way, so, and it will be retroactive.
Do you work in aviation, in hospitality, or in restaurants? What is your situation? Are you able to keep working? Join in 800-642-1234. Heather Long is economics correspondent at The Washington Post, and she's our guide. Heather, we heard there from Pelosi speaking directly to the aviation industry, and we've seen massive layoffs there. What are they trying to build into this next stimulus that might be able to help specific industries?
There's quite a lot. So they are closing in on a bill. The latest number I heard was around $1.8 trillion. So at the moment, the White House has pitched a $1.6 trillion package. And the House Democrats, you just heard House Leader Nancy Pelosi, has pitched a $2.2 trillion. So they're getting a lot closer than they've been in weeks. They agree on a lot of things. So just that clip you heard, they agree that airlines, which have just laid off or threatened to lay off close to 50,000 people this month, they agree that that sector needs help. They agree on another round of those very popular $1,200 stimulus checks. They agree on some sort of extra bonus, if you will, or extra money for the unemployed, which would be, they're sort of debating that. At the moment, the latest compromise looks like it'll be $400 or $500 a week instead of $600 like it was in the spring. They agree on more PPP money for small businesses. So there's a lot of agreement. They disagree. The two big holdups are the state and local aid. So the Democrats want a lot more money to go to cities and states. Republicans, at least the White House, has moved a little bit in that direction. The latest numbers are around $300 billion for that. House Democrats would like to see more like $500 billion or $600 billion. Actually, believe it or not, tax credits. There's a little bit of a debate around the child tax credit and whether that should be made more generous to be another way to help out families right now. But they're getting close. I tell people a week ago, I would have said there's a 30% chance of getting this done, so very little. Today, I would say there's probably a 70% chance. I think they will get it done in the next week, and Lord knows the economy needs it.
Well, let's look more specifically at reporting and number crunching that you did on people of color and what they are experiencing in this economy. Black Americans have not recovered anywhere near the same pace as white Americans. What are you seeing?
The numbers are staggering. When we look at jobs lost, Black men and women lost some of the most jobs in the spring because they work overwhelmingly in sectors in the service industry, particularly restaurants that were hit particularly hard. And the recovery has been much slower. Obviously, a lot of restaurants and hotels and service sector jobs are not back. We know that. So let me just throw out the numbers. Black men and women have recovered barely a third of jobs, so about 34%. White men and women, on the flip side, have recovered 60% of jobs. So it's just going much, much faster for some racial groups. Hispanics are sort of in between that, just slightly over half recovered, similar with Asian Americans. It also breaks down by college degrees. So people who have college degrees tend to work in jobs that they can sit here on their computer and work from home. People without college degrees who have high school education or less are much more likely to be in jobs where they need to go to a physical location, whether it's in manufacturing or in the service sector. People with college degrees have recovered 55% of jobs. People with high school degrees have recovered only 40% of jobs. So again, big disparities.
If you're just joining us, we're checking in on the health of the economy with Washington Post economics correspondent Heather Long. You can join in here. What are your feelings about the next stimulus check? Do you think it's needed and warranted? Do you want to see Congress take action on that? How could a second stimulus help your family or your business? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ryan now, joining us from DeSoto. Hi, Ryan.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing well. Go ahead.
So the first, my store, I work on Fort McCoy, which I don't know if you know is a National Guard training base, Army Reserve training base. And we closed for 2 months, which is right in the middle of spring and summer, which is busy.
Oh, Ryan, I think we're having difficulty hearing you, Ryan. We can hear you now.
Okay. So I work on Fort McCoy, which is a National Guard and Army Reserve training base. And we closed for 2 months in the middle of summer, which is our busiest time of year. And once we reopened, our sales just weren't there. Everybody was canceling training. Numbers for expected troops were changing every day. And now it's already gotten to the point where I know that we're going to finish in the red for the year, and I'm worried about having to go on furlough for the winter. Mm. Kind of to tie in what you said before, I think a stimulus bill is definitely needed.
Ryan, really interesting here. Heather, even on a military base, feeling the effects of this economy.
Yeah, I think Ryan's 100% right. And that's why he's saying just what the economists are telling Congress, which is there's a huge chance of what's called a double dip recession. I call it the W. And everybody's kind of said, what does this recession look like? Does it look like a V? It could look like a W. You know, yes, we've seen the worst of it. We've come back a little bit. We're half recovered now. But I think Ryan's right. There's a real potential that if the virus does come back in a big way, even if governors don't shut down states again a lot, we can see it in cell phone data. People get hesitant as cases rise. People do not go out as much. People are not going to stores. They're not going to military bases. They're not signing up for trainings. And so that reverberates through the economy. And there's a very high chance of that happening in the winter. The head of the Federal Reserve has been telling Congress, it's going to be harder from here. Harder from here. And that's, it's almost like running the marathon. Now we're at the second half. Everybody knows who's been up Heartbreak Hill and Boston Marathon. That second half is killer.
Well, you've been looking at the unemployment rate of the swing states. Wisconsin economy has suffered. It shrunk by nearly a third from April to June. What do voters care about most when it comes to the economy?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is high worry about jobs, even if people have their jobs back. This recession has also been unusual in that we've seen a lot of pay cuts. And usually in like the Great Recession, most of us remember from just over a decade ago, people would either be laid off or they would be kept. But this time around, we're seeing a lot more what Ryan was just talking about, people getting furloughed, people getting a 10% across the board pay cut. And so there's still a high anxiety about the economy. And I was just looking at some polling data in Pennsylvania. I believe it's probably similar for Wisconsin, but the economy is rising back to being squarely as the number one issue on a lot of people's minds. What's interesting, I think, I'm originally from Pennsylvania and was recently there. The two linchpin swing states are supposed to be Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Pennsylvania right now has a 10.3% unemployment rate, one of the worst in the nation. Wisconsin, on the flip side, has a 6.2% unemployment rate, which is one of the best, one of the lowest among states. So still high compared to a year ago, but it looks like a very different picture from the outside in those two states.
See how that translates then in November. Let's bring in Stephen in Black Earth. Hi, Stephen. What's your situation?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Good topic. My situation is that I'm a working professional and I work from home and I'm making more money. I feel a little guilty about it, but that's just there's a data point for you. My comment is that I think that we should all look at this and it shows and it proves that over the last 10 years or more, we've been replacing our engineering, manufacturing, and industrial economy with a service economy. And this shows that a service economy cannot replace an industrial economy. And a service economy is very, very fragile and subject to economic downturn. If we looked at the sectors rather than the race, look at the sectors of what's recovering, we'll see that certain industrial sectors are recovering much better.
Stephen, thanks. Heather, short on time, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think Stephen makes a very good point. There's no doubt we have been transitioning people from blue-collar jobs into service jobs. That was a huge transition that was happening, particularly for minority workers and workers without college degrees coming out of the Great Recession. And he's absolutely right. We have just seen what a decimation of the service sector can mean. In our analysis, again, we looked, this is the most unequal recession in modern U.S. history, so since World War II.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Coming up, we check in with a Brown County emergency medicine physician about the surge of COVID cases, how his hospital is responding. That's right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.